to our Lighthouse, our Discover Lighthouse class, or you were here last November at Vision Night, you will notice this Venn diagram. And I know it looks like a bunch of poorly drawn circles and scribbles, and at some level that wouldn't be wrong. But what this is actually a look a little bit behind the scenes of how we make some of the decisions in the vision and application here at Lighthouse. And just if you've never seen this before, I'm going to quickly explain it. And then I want to point out one specific thing, right? What happens is that in our relationship with Jesus is that as followers of Jesus, we find our identity in Christ. And then we hope that we can grow in our and experience a deeper relationship with Christ. And through our identity and our relationship with Christ, it gives us purpose from God for our lives, right? It is this, and this is that's a really big nutshell version. If you want more, come to the next Discover Lighthouse class. We'll go into it in depth. And there's lots of things in between that we will explain. But this is the vision. This is the behind-the-curtain scene of everything we do here, right? What we do is we want to provide experiences for people that they can grow in their identity for Jesus, they can grow in their relationship with Jesus, or they can find purpose from Jesus. Everything we do as a church is defined by these three quadrants. And if it's something that we do that doesn't fit these, I don't think we should do it. Right? That is basically where we are. But what I want to look at this morning is these top two right here. And this idea, and I'm going to redraw this, so bear with me, because again, you saw how good of an artist I am. Right? This very first circle is this idea of identity. And our identity as followers of Jesus is in Jesus. Scripture says that anyone who is in Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Right? When we chose to follow Jesus, we chose to identify as a follower of Jesus. But the problem with this is what happened before we identified as a follower of Jesus is that we were all born identifying as a follower of me. Not like me. Like, you weren't born like, oh, Joel, I'm going to follow him. Like, no, we were each born following ourselves. And it's this idea that we are all born with this concept of this almost selfish nature. Where our experience for the world is only through one set of eyes, and that's our own. I see the world through my eyes. I don't see the world through Matt's eyes. Matt doesn't know my experience. My experience isn't his. His experience isn't mine. So all that I know is my experience. I was on a mission trip several years ago, and I was leading students. And one of the things that we talked about is I challenged them, is, hey, we're on a mission trip. Our focus is on other people. You cannot say the word I or me. Think about a middle schooler asking to go to the bathroom without being able to say I or me. Jimmy really has to go because if Jimmy doesn't go, there's going to be a mess on the floor. Like, I mean, it's not the easiest thing. Just try it for a day. Don't say I or me. You're either talking about yourself in the third person or you're really frustrated because you can't communicate effectively. And the reason is because our perspective is our perspective. It's how we see the world. We are born with an identity that is focused on me. But when we accept Jesus, what we're saying is that me is not where my identity is, but my identity instead is in Jesus. Again, sorry for my poor handwriting. If you're watching online, again, really sorry. As followers of Jesus, we are saying that we are no longer identifying by self, that we are identifying by Jesus. And here's why we know this. It's because there is nothing that you can do to save yourself. You can't do it. You are dependent upon being saved by Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself or else we wouldn't need Jesus. We need Jesus and we need to have our identity based in Jesus. But here's the problem, and this is where we're going over the next series, is that while our identity may be based in Jesus, this idea of me keeps trying to pull us back again and again and again. And maybe this idea of me is that we are trapped in a sin cycle that we can't seem to break. Or maybe this idea of me is that we are stuck in and ingrained in opinions that we don't want to give up. Whatever it is, what we find our identity in that is not Jesus, is not Jesus. It's me. But don't forget, me is not going to be what saves you. And this isn't just a problem that I see with culture. Guys, this is a problem that I see within the church. Globally, around the world, I see this is a great and huge problem within the church, that we are focused on me. We are focused on my opinions and what I think and what I think we should do and what I feel. I'm going to move this back because I'm feeling a little claustrophobic. The singular point that I need you to understand going into this, going into today, but also this series, is that following Jesus means your identity is based on him, not on you. Your identity is based on him. It's not based on you. There's this idea, this concept, and we use this phrase a lot, but I find that a lot of people don't even know what it means, right? The term postmodernity or postmodern era. Some philosophers think that we are living in a postmodern era, which is the era that comes after modernity or the modern era. It's after the modern era. And the modern era brought us things like the Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution and things like this. And many people think that we are living in a time that is after that. And if you're confused about the postmodernity, what it means, it's okay. So is the majority of people that I talk to about postmodernity. But this, I do want to point out a few things about what postmodernity says that I think are relevant to this conversation. See, postmodernity argues that there is no such thing as absolute truth, but rather truth is a social construct specific to the social setting in which it is found. Let me translate this for you. This means that truth is wishy-washy. It's an official term. You can write that down in your notes. Wishy-washy. It's wishy-washy. And that what may be true for me isn't necessarily true for you because we were born in different settings, that we have different life experiences. That truth here for me in Colorado, in America, is different than truth for someone around the world, living in Singapore, wherever they are. Right? That's the concept behind postmodernity. Truth, it's not a whole concept, it is one of the concepts behind it, is that truth is a social construct. There's no absolute truths. Another thing that postmodernity teaches is it emphasizes that individual opinion is more valuable than fact or expertise. It's the idea that a person determines what their own truth is based on how or what they think about a certain subject. What this means is that people are arguing that their opinions are right, even if they're not. But oh, is this not a trap that we have fallen into? Because we love to hold our opinions. And the problem is when we start identifying by our opinions, then we're saying that what I think is truth, not an identity founded in Jesus. There is not a place I see this more pervasive in culture than I do on social media. And don't get me wrong, social media is a tool, and tools can be used for good things or tools can be used for bad things. I think there's some incredible uses for social media. But just think about this for a second, because social media allows us an opportunity to present something to the world that is not necessarily the truth, but is the truth through a filter. When we post a selfie on the internet, it's usually not just the first picture we take, but we take that first picture and we go, oh, where'd that double chin come from? Oh, I don't want to post that one. No, that one's not good. That one's not good. So-and-so has their eyes closed. Like, no, like, I'm going to put, oh, this one, this one's okay. And what we present to the world is a presentation of ourselves that has been filtered through our own opinions of what we think we should look like. And then we start posting our opinions on how we feel about certain subjects or politics. And what we're saying is, hey, my opinion is truth. And if you disagree with my opinion in the comments, I'm going to go after you and be really mean to you. But the problem is the truth that we're putting forward is our opinion, and we're falling into this postmodernity trap where we're letting our opinion be the primary source for our identity, instead of Jesus Christ. Here's the hard part about all of this. is we all fall into this. I have opinions. And sometimes I fall in the trap of mistaking what my opinion is for truth. Or even if it is something that is factually true, we base our identity off of that opinion instead of on Jesus. But let me tell you this, if your identity is based off of politics or opinions, one way or the other, on masks or vaccines, instead of being founded on an identity in Jesus Christ, your focus is me, not him. And in this world that we're living in, the last 2 years, we have let our opinions captivate our hearts. And we've lost an identity in Jesus for an identity that responds and reacts to the world. Now, here's the problem with all this. Is what you think doesn't change the truth about who Jesus is. And how I feel doesn't change the character of God and how he responds. And as a global church, it seems that we have elevated the idea of me and in the process forgotten that our opinion of the world doesn't impact the salvation of the world. Only one person did that, and that's Jesus. And that is not truth that you get to define or determine. That's not truth that my opinion impacts. This is what I mean, right? You can walk around the world, and people do, saying that Jesus wasn't real, or that even if he was, he didn't really live a perfect life, and he wasn't really raised from the dead. Like, that's all fairy tales, right? You could believe that, but even if you believe that, it doesn't change the truth that happened. Because truth isn't determined by you. It's not determined by me. Absolute truth is determined by Jesus. Again, we can't save ourselves. And so when our identity is focused on me, we are going to be left wanting. Because it's only an identity focused on Jesus that will actually save us. You can't do it on your own. The only way we can do it is by having an identity that's focused on Jesus. Look at this in John chapter 15. In this, Jesus gives this analogy, and we're going to be in some semblance of this passage for the next 5 weeks because this is the core, the basis of what we're looking at. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says this, right? This is Jesus talking. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Right? This is an analogy that Jesus presents that gives a pretty clear picture of some things, right? And in this analogy, there's really three people. There's Jesus, who is the vine. There's God, the Father, who's the vine dresser. And then there's the branches, which is us, you and me. Now, to understand this, you need to understand a little bit about vineyards. Anybody ever worked in a vineyard in here? I haven't. So just take my word from this because I've researched this well. This is not from firsthand vine dressing experience, right? When you talk about a vine, what most people think of as a vine is actually a branch. In fact, you can go home and Google pictures of ancient Middle Eastern vineyards and vines, and the vine itself is a giant tree trunk stalk looking thing that's in the middle. That is the vine. The vine is connected to the ground. It's a place where nutrition comes from. The branches grow off of the vine. And so when Jesus says, I am the vine, right, he's referring to the main trunk of the vine. When he says that you are a branch, you are the wispy offshoot, the little thin stick that we tie into wreaths sometimes, right? That is who you and I are. And then God the Father is the one who dresses the vine. And what a vine dresser does is actually more to the branches than the vine itself. But he is the one that goes and makes sure that the branches are producing fruit. Because that is your singular job. And that is my singular job as branches. Is that our job is to make fruit. Is to bear fruit. Not like rawr, not like bear fruit, but like to make fruit. That's our job. That's the single job that we have, is to produce fruit. And then from there to produce more fruit. It talks about how the vine dresser's job is to prune the vine. Anybody ever seen a tree or a vine that's been pruned? It is really ugly afterwards. It does not look pretty. Can you imagine like what the tree thinks? Like when the guy's coming to prune it, he's like coming with the shears and the tree's like, hey, what's up? And the guy's like, oh, you don't know. But you're going to do that to me? Ah, where'd it all go? Like, right? So, but a vine or a tree after it's been pruned looks almost like it's been hurt. But and I'm sure that the vine or the tree doesn't love that. But here's what it does. It prepares the tree for or the vine for better future growth. And if our job is to bear fruit or to produce fruit, we need at times to be pruned. So here's my prayer over this series. Is it the things God needs to prune in you and the things God needs to prune in me will lead to us producing more fruit for the kingdom of God? But without pruning, we limit the amount of fruit that we can. I'm hesitant a little bit to talk about this next part, and I almost didn't include it. But I feel like it's also important as we're talking about this concept of identity in Jesus versus identity in me. If you are active on Instagram or TikTok and a little bit on Facebook, there is a trend that is it started way back in 2016, but it has gained a lot of momentum over the last several months. And that trend is the Christian deconstruction movement or the exvangelical movement. And in this, just to kind of give you an overview, is people are sharing their experiences on why they were hurt by the church and how it led to many of them leaving the church. And some of them have maybe left the church and are searching for truth in who Jesus is. And some of them have just walked away from their faith entirely. So, the reason I want to be careful with this is because there is a side of this that I think is actually important. And that is this. If you are someone or you know someone, or maybe you're watching this and this applies to you. If you are someone that has been hurt by the church or experienced trauma because people have misused the name of Jesus and it caused you pain or hurt, or it was not in accordance with what we see in Scripture. Or maybe someone abused a position or a role and it hurt you. I want to say that I am deeply, deeply sorry that someone misused the name of Jesus. And I am deeply, deeply sorry that in the process you were. That's not okay. But there's a second side to this that I also and I, again, very carefully want to examine, and that's this, is that there are also people in this movement, this deconstruction or evangelical movement, who have let their opinions supersede the truth in Scripture. And they maybe don't like what Scripture says. And in the process, they are using that to define what they call trauma based off of a disagreement. And it's something they see, and it's a truth that maybe someone preached or they heard in a Bible study that they didn't like, and their response is, I don't like this about the church. And it caused trauma. And I think there's a very fine line here because I legitimately have known and have seen people who have been hurt because of an abuse and misuse of power. But I also see people letting this be what defines their trauma from this. And I don't think that that is right. Because our opinions about God and our opinions about Scripture don't impact that truth. And people have walked in their opinions and walked away from God because they didn't like what God said about certain subjects. And they were hurt from that. And they didn't like that. And so they let their opinion supersede the truth and they walked away. And if that is someone you know, or maybe that's something that you have experienced, here is what I want to encourage you, is that you are acting as a branch trying to produce fruit without being attached to the vine. And when people use the name of Jesus without actually being connected to Jesus, it's like a vine that has been cut, or a branch that's been cut off of a grapevine trying to grow grapes. It's not going to. A dead branch can't grow grapes. A dead branch is used as Christmas decoration. That's it. Or fire kindling. You cannot claim the name of Jesus while at the same time disregarding the truth of Jesus. And at best, having a different opinion than the foundational truths of Scripture is an interpretation difference, but at worst, it is heresy and idolatry, where you have elevated your own opinion to the same level of truth as defined by God. Because how you feel about God's truth, what you think about God's truth, doesn't change God's truth. The point that I need you to understand is this, right? To fulfill a calling from Jesus, we have to be connected to Jesus. You cannot fulfill your call as a follower of Jesus if your identity is founded in you instead of in Jesus. You can't save yourself. You can't save anybody else. Only Jesus can do that. And so to produce fruit, if you're trying to produce fruit, if you're trying to live out this calling and not being connected to Jesus, you're like the vine, the branch that's been cut from the vine. You're not going to produce anything. This doesn't produce fruit. Only a finding our identity in Jesus produces fruit. Look at this next verse. Verse 3. It says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." And some scholars actually disagree on this. Some think that this verse is kind of a little bit out of context with the grander analogy. A lot of people think it's not. They think it fits in. And I kind of fall in that second camp. I think this fits perfectly in this analogy that Jesus is demonstrating. Because what he is saying here is, hey, those of you who are hearing me, or those of you who are reading this later, which would be us, right? There is a level that you are already prepared to bear fruit. There's a level that you are already clean. You are cleansed already. Because if you belong to a community of faith that is built in Jesus, you are connected to Jesus. And from that, you are prepared to bear fruit. The vine dresser has already done something to you. Anybody ever try to? That shows my expertise. Anybody ever do painting in a house, right? Like, here's the thing with painting, is you cannot paint something dirty. You know what happens when you paint a dirty surface? Either the paint doesn't stick or you have dirty paint. What you have to do before is you actually have to prep the surface. If you read every paint can ever, they talk about prepping the surface to paint it. The problem is we like to get lazy, get that spray can and knock the top off, shake it up, and sure, that'll just about do it. Now, but if you're actually painting your house, you spend tons of time in preparation. You tape, you bed, you cut in with just the hope that that little thing is not going to touch the ceiling, because when it does, you're going to sit in your chair and look at it for like 5 years and think about how much of a failure you are because you touched the ceiling with that one little amount of blue paint. Maybe that's just me. But I digress. You've got to prepare the paint, but then when it actually comes time to paint, it's like 20 minutes and you're done. You spend like 3 days prepping to paint, but the painting itself doesn't take that much time. And what Jesus is saying here is, hey, if you have heard my words, if you are in a community of faith and you are hearing this or you are reading this, then at some level, you are already prepared. That work has been done. Not that we don't have more work that we see that comes up along the way, but at some level, you have already been dressed by the vine dresser. You are ready to bear fruit. See, the individual in a community of faith are clean and prepared already. And what this means is that Jesus prepares us. I'm sorry, by having faith, Jesus prepares us to bear fruit. He prepares you to bear fruit. So even just faith in Him does something in you that prepares you to bear fruit. What this means is that it prepares us to make an impact in the world around us. You have been prepared to make an impact in the world around you. We talk about bearing fruit. This is what this means, is to make an impact in the world that is around you. This, the place that you live, the community that you live, the place that you work, the church that you go to. You have been prepared to make an impact. You have been prepared to bear fruit. Because at some level, you have found this. And the truth is, this keeps pulling us back, but the truth of Jesus prepares us to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. It prepares us to make it. The verse continues, and this is where we'll stop today. In verse 4, this is what it says, right? Abide in me, and I in you. And I love this phrase where Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I love this word, the word abide, because what abide means is to remain or to stay. When Jesus says abide in me, what he's saying is, hey, stay with me. Remain with me. Don't go back to you. Remain with me. And even these two verses are two of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And you can read them like this intimate an invitation. It's almost, when I read this, it almost feels like Jesus is speaking directly to me. And he's saying, hey, stay with me. I will always be right here with you. You can't do it on your own. You need me, but I am right here for you. So stay with me, abide in me. For apart from him, you can do nothing. And it's this loving invitation that we have where Jesus is saying, don't worry about who you used to be. Don't worry about your opinion, what I need you to do. No, stay right here with me. I'm going to be right here with you, and I'm not going anywhere. Stay with me. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, I love this passage, and it fits really well in the conversation of John 15. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, right? Let us lay aside these things that cling closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's produce fruit. Run with endurance. It's not a sprint, it's an endurance race. Looking to Jesus, right? We're not going to cling. Instead, we're going to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He's the one that created our faith, but he's also the one that makes it better. Abide in me. Remain in me. For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What Jesus is saying is abide in me. And what the author of Hebrews is saying is because Jesus died for us, he made the pathway for us to abide in him, to stay with him, to remain with him. Because you're not going to finish the race if you don't have the right source of nutrition. If you've known any long endurance athletes, I've run one marathon in my life. I know you can look at me and go, that guy didn't run a marathon. I promise I have. I have a medal and a plaque. I've run one marathon. What I quickly learned when I was doing long distance running is that you can't just go and run. After about 10 miles or about an hour and 20 minutes, your body needs something. It needs nutrition. Endurance athletes need the right nutrition. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, you need the right nutrition? I set that race before you. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one that provides that. But we can't get the nutrition if we're a branch that's been cut off from the vine. And I know I'm mixing analogies, but it doesn't mean it's not true. Because if we don't remain in Him, we are disconnected from Him. We can think that the idea of me is great, but me didn't die on the cross to save our sins. You see, when we let me determine the path of our faith journey, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We need Jesus. That invitation is right there. Abide. Remain in me. Stay with me. So here's a part where I ask you, or I challenge you. In what do you abide? What do you remain in? What are you staying in? What are you abiding in? Is it your opinions? Is it your comfort? Is it Jesus? What is your identity based in? Is it what you do? Is it a career? Is it you as a parent or a spouse? Is it an activity that you participate in, or is it Jesus? Are you abiding in me, or are you abiding in Him? The tagline of this series is finding more of Jesus in a world that demands more of me. So the world is demanding you be somebody. So the question is, who are you? What are you abiding in? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask you this morning to bow your heads and close your eyes. Because I just want the opportunity to pray. Here's my request, right? If this morning, maybe you're watching online and you're feeling this, but if this morning, if you feel like you are abiding in something that is not Jesus, but you don't want to, I want you to raise your hand because I just want to pray for you. Thank you, I see you. Thank you. Thank you, I see you. Thank you. Thank you, I see you. Father, I lift up each and every one of these men and women to you. And God, I include myself in that. God, the things that we have been abiding in that are not you. God, I pray that you put a distaste for us in them that pales in comparison to what you can provide for us. Father, give us the strength and the energy to walk away from the me and to find a deeper identity in you. Let us abide in you more and more. We thank you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for worshiping with us. Hope you guys have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday.